May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As many of you know, I am not a great fan of summer weather. By this time in the summer, I am longing for October with its lovely, crisp mornings and temperate days. But there is one thing I love about August, and that is peaches. Fresh peaches like the one I ate for breakfast this morning, which caught all my attention with its sweet flavor. And I took just a moment to finish my breakfast thinking of nothing else. And then I remembered a song by Carrie Newcomer about what is holy and how we catch glimpses of holiness in our daily lives. It's called "I Do Not Know Its Name," and the second verse goes like this. We were eating summer peaches by a roadside stand, juice running down like laughter on our chin and on our hands. When we were done, we looked around and smiled at each other, and you said, "Come on, Carrie, let's have another." And I do not know its name, but no matter how I try, I believe it must taste like peaches eaten by the roadside. And I thanked God for the beautiful abundance of a ripe peach. Jesus told his disciples, "Here is how you should pray. O great Spirit, our Father from above, your name is sacred and holy. Bring your good road to us, where the beauty of your ways in the spirit world above is reflected on the earth below. Provide for us day by day the elk, the buffalo, and the salmon, the corn, the squash, and the wild rice, all the good things we need for each day." We read the gospel this morning from the First Nations Indigenous translation. We are in the third week of our series on the Lord's Prayer, and using different versions of the prayer can help us hear it in new ways. Today we focus on the first petition of the prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." And reading from the Indigenous translation highlights for us that this prayer is not about bread per se, but about nourishment and sustenance in whatever form it takes. It's about elk and salmon, corn and squash and beans, bagels and tortillas, burgers and spaghetti with meatballs, and a crisp, fresh salad. This is a prayer for whatever we need, offered to the God who is the source of all good things and of life itself. In Psalm 45, we were reminded, "The eyes of all look to you, O God, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing." Knowing that this is true about God, why does Jesus want us to pray each day for our daily bread? I'm sure there are many reasons, but I want to explore three of them today. First, praying for our daily bread reminds us of God's great abundance. We see God's abundance in gospel stories about Jesus feeding the 5,000, the miraculous catch of fish, and the wedding at Cana. Jesus told his disciples, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." God doesn't just provide sustenance. God offers joy in the taste of peaches and in the delight of a meal shared with our loved ones. Jesus invites us every week to this table where he feeds us with his very self, offering grace we can touch and see and taste. Praying this prayer each day also reminds us that we depend on God for all things. When the Hebrews were in the wilderness, having escaped slavery in Egypt, they became anxious and complained to Moses, "Why did God bring us here where there's no food? Did we come out in the wilderness just to die of starvation? So God provided manna for them to eat each day. And I just, one of my favorite parts of the Bible is when they find the manna and say, "What is it?" But the manna was given with particular limits. Each day, the people could only gather what they needed for the day. They couldn't store the manna from day to day, but they had to trust each day that God would provide again tomorrow. Now, we have cupboards and refrigerators to store our food and grocery shelves filled with huge varieties of foods. We have safe places to live and closets full of clothes. But we, too, are invited to remember that it all comes from God. We are reminded to live in gratitude for all that we have. And then we come to a third reason we are given this prayer, which is found in the words "us" and "our." This prayer is not just a personal prayer. It is communal. We do not pray, "God, give me today my daily bread." As is so often the case, the biblical reality is focused on community. We are reminded that there is a we-ness to all our material resources. Our prayer for our daily bread reminds us that God provides enough for all. But human greed and sin leave some hungry, while others have obscene amounts of money, food, and things. As Christians, we know that that is not what God wants for creation. We know that a part of what it means to follow Jesus is to feed the poor, to offer assistance and hope for people who live in poverty, and work for justice and equity in society. It is not enough just for my needs to be met unless others also have what they need to live and flourish. This is why we dissent when the government makes cuts to assistance that provides livelihood for so many people, such as SNAP, Medicaid, and USAID. It is why we advocate for our state legislature to budget money for food banks and school lunches. And it is why this congregation is so committed to the work of service in our community, to offerings like that gathering of food that we send to Sierra Vista for food insecure children and families to have on their weekends. When we pray for our daily bread, we pray for bread and for shelter and health care and all daily needs for everyone. And we commit ourselves to the work of making that a reality. Jesus intends for us to live in community, to care for one another, and to depend on one another in times of hardship and need. This is exactly opposite to our American ideal of individualism, which said that each one of us is just responsible for myself, and I do it all for myself, and I don't need anyone else, and you should do it too. Chances are, each one of us has at some point in our life come up against the truth in our own lives that not only do we depend on God, we depend on each other as well. None of us is self-sufficient or self-made. We can't do this life alone. In her book, In the Sanctuary of Women, minister and artist Jan Richardson reflects on her own relationship with the prayer for daily bread. And this is where, yeah, thank you. That's Jan Richardson's art that we so often use in our worship. She writes, "As someone whose ministry involves raising my entire income, I find myself thinking a lot about provision. How do I keep food on the table and a roof over my head by my own power? Part of the answer lies in remembering that I don't, in fact, do this alone. Over time, I've learned to be more intentional about praying for provision. Ask, seek, knock, Jesus said, It stretches me sometimes, opening myself to pray about matters that seem so basic. Yet what we find in the Gospels is a persistent reminder that the mundane and the miraculous are inextricable. In the very stuff of our daily lives, food, shelter, work, community, God makes a home, looking for ways to offer us what we most need. Richardson continues, I've also learned to give thought to what I really need. For more than a decade, I've lived in a studio apartment, a small space that affords continual opportunities for the spiritual practices regarding possessions. Part of what I've discovered in this space is that it often takes only the tiniest thing to blow me away with its loveliness, its power, its provision. And she finishes her devotion with this poem. At lunch today, it was the purple of the olive pits against the cobalt plate that stunned me. At tea, the gold of peach, bloodstained by its stone. I do not know where the greater part of the miracle lies, that I should pause to notice this, or that I, a woman of such great hungers, should be so well satisfied by these small things. Jesus invites us to come day after day to pray again, give us today our daily bread, so that we may remember to trust in God's providence, to praise God's abundance, and to generously steward all that God has given. So may we continue to pray, and may we continue to do that for which we pray, and may we continue to be amazed by the wonder of it all. Amen.